Concordia Publishing House's annual warehouse sale is both online and in store. Take advantage of discounted prices on many of the items you hear promoted on Issues, etc. November 2nd through the 6th. You'll find major cost savings on books, music, Bibles, educational resources, and more. Concordia Publishing House's Fall Warehouse Sale, cph.org, and 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis.
I can tell you that I am absolutely committed. In fact, I would rather die than give up the Book of Concord, because the Book of Concord confesses the truths of Holy Scripture.
And when the pastor in whose house I lived called Hitler from the pulpit the Redeemer, the organist said to me, whispered into my ear, "He's lying, he's lying, he's betraying our Lord."
And Weber kept, he had his Bible in his hand, and he pointed to it, and he said, "But the book says, the book says, the book says." He repeated that so often, finally, in absolute exasperation, John Cheeson said, "I don't care what your goddamn book says."
Who thinks they're entitled to sex? Well, the rapist thinks he's entitled to sex. And that's the straight line that I draw from the ideology of the sexual revolution to Harvey Weinstein, and while we're at it, campus date rape, and all of the other issues that we're facing of truly toxic sexuality.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. Just a taste there of the sound bites we're going to be playing for you in the half hour or so here on Issues, Etc. In the third and final hour, we'll place Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week, play those sound bites for you in their entirety, and you will vote, and by giving us a call, you'll vote, and you'll pick which one will be Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week. It's also your opportunity to win the LPR bundle package, and I Have Issues t-shirt, and Issues, Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, and notepad goes to the listener with the best vote for Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week. You can wait and give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE. Send us an email with your vote, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. In the meantime, it's This Week in Pop American Christianity. Today we're going to be looking at something Joel Osteen had to say from the pulpit after Hurricane Harvey swept through his city of Houston. The title of his sermon, "When the Water Breaks." Pastor Chris Rosebro joins us. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
What should we expect to hear from a faithful pastor post-natural disaster from the pulpit?
Well, this is a time, oftentimes, when people are introspective, considering their own mortality, the consequences of sin that it's had on creation and even on ourselves. You don't want to sit there and say that this particular natural disaster happened because of this particular national sin. We are not privy to such information. But we do know that the earth is groaning and in travail and wearing out and under a curse, and this is a result of our sin. So this is a great time for people to examine their lives in light of the Ten Commandments, to hear the good news that Christ has bled and died for our sins, and that God has not forsaken us in the midst of a terrible tragedy. Those are a couple of ideas. This is not at all exhaustive, but just a few of the themes that you can really pull on as people come to church to look to, you know, to God to find, you know, eternal answers to the troubling questions as it relates to sin and its consequences in the world.
Joel Osteen really needs no introduction, but let's go ahead. Give us kind of a rundown of who Joel is and why, when he preaches, his audience is perhaps not just in the venue where he's at week to week, but worldwide, one of the biggest in the world.
Yeah, he really is. He has a very successful television ministry. You know, Lakewood Church is where he pastors. He took over the position after his father died. And Joel Osteen has been, you know, called America's pastor by Oprah Winfrey and others, and, you know, is arguably one of the most well-known Christian pastors on the planet because his television program is literally seen around the world. And his books, they are every time he publishes a book, it's a New York Times bestseller. So this is a fellow that his theology and ideas and doctrines are part of the steady diet of what evangelicals consume from week to week.
It may also help if you would just kind of give us a brief outline of his theological position. He is word faith. You'll have to explain what that is, but yep. Of a very nuanced and light variety.
Yes. So number one, you got to understand he is a true charismatic Pentecostal, tongues speaking fellow who believes in the second baptism of the Holy Spirit, although they pretty much downplay that from the pulpit. But he's known for his messages that encourage people to think positive thoughts and to say positive words. And the reason for that is that Joel Osteen actually believes that our positive thoughts and words have power in and of themselves to create a positive future for our lives, whereas negative words will create a negative future and negative outcomes for our life. Everything kind of hinges on the power of the tongue in his theology.
So he's preaching from Houston. The church is located there where the Rockets used to play in Houston. And he's preaching after Hurricane Harvey. What should we be listening for in this first example from his When the Water Breaks sermon?
Let's start by just asking this question. What is he exegeting? And I think we'll go from there.
I want to talk to you today about when the water breaks. Years ago, when Victoria was pregnant with our first child, she was at a downtown office building headed to an appointment. She was in the final stages of pregnancy. And standing in a crowded elevator, minding her own business, all of a sudden, her water broke. Water came pouring out on the ground. And Victoria was kind of embarrassed. She tried to stand back and not affect anyone else. But the people on the elevator didn't get upset. They weren't panicked, thinking something was wrong. They knew the water breaking was a sign she was about to give birth. They knew it was all a part of the process that her baby was about to be born. Victoria got off the elevator and drove straight to the hospital. Not long after that, she gave birth to our son, Jonathan. When the water breaks in your life, when you face an unexpected difficulty, you didn't see it coming. You were going along, being your best. You came down with an illness. A relationship didn't work out. The company had to lay you off. It's easy to get discouraged and think it's never going to get better. But have a new perspective. When the water breaks, that's a sign you're about to give birth. God's about to do something new, something that you haven't seen. Without the water breaking, you would get stuck. You wouldn't reach the fullness of what God has in store. And that's what's happened to all of us here in Houston. Hurricane Harvey came and our water broke. There was a flood. And looking at it on the surface, at the damage, it's easy to get discouraged. I think that ruined my house. That flooded my car. That disrupted my life. What you have to remember is the water breaking means a birth is coming. The trauma indicates transition is on the way. God never brings you out the same. He's birthing you into something greater. Your house may have flooded, but you're going to give birth to a new house, an improved house, a remodeled house. God is transitioning you into another level.
All right, Chris, I know that before every sermon, Joel takes a big old leather Bible in his hand, probably his daddy's Bible, I'm sure. Holds it up over his head, and he asks everyone in this gigantic church where they worship together to hold theirs up. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. But I didn't hear any Bible yet.
No. In fact, it's gotten so bad that, when I review Joel Osteen sermons, and he gets to the part where in that the Joel Osteen creed is, I think, a good way of referring to it. When he says, "Today I will be taught the word of God," I literally pause the tape and say, "No, you won't." let's just put it this way. The last thing I ever want to hear at church is a pastor exegeting the gory details of his wife going into labor. I mean, that's just not the material that we've been given to preach from, and which kind of, and you got to note this, is that so many pastors today, and I'm gonna just kind of expand this out. This isn't just an evangelical problem. This is a problem that exists across the board, denominationally, and will include people who self-identify as Lutherans. They aren't preaching the biblical texts. They are exegeting their experiences, their life story, anecdotal whatevers and jokes and things like that. But Scripture is clear. The job of a pastor, a man who holds the pastoral office, his job is to preach the Word in season and out of season. Joel Osteen here is preaching from the wrong book, and it's the book of his life rather than the Word of God. And that is where all of the problems really begin in this sermon.
Isn't that part of kind of the way that his theology approaches everything, that you really see what God's doing, how God is disposed toward you by looking at the circumstances of your life?
Yeah, and that's a terrible way to determine God's thoughts towards you, because over and again, we see in the lives of the patriarchs, even are taught to pray in the Psalms, that there are dark periods in our lives when it feels like God has turned his face from us. You read Psalm 13, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? And, there David is pouring out his heart, and the experience he was going through felt like God had abandoned him, but that did not at all have any bearing on God's thoughts towards David. You look at Job as well. Job suffered all kinds of terrible circumstances, and we know the reason why, but he did not know the reason why. He's never given the answer to the question why in the book of Job, and it wasn't because he had done something wrong or had negatively confessed. It was because of his great love for God and God's great love for him, and so he was given a cross to bear. And so we don't want to look at the circumstances of our lives and say, well, the sun is up, my bank account's fat, that must mean God loves me. Because as soon as the stock market takes a plunge and you end up out, rather than on Easy Street, you end up in Skid Row, you're going to think that God is mad at you. The way we know what God thinks towards us is not to look at our circumstances, but to look to Jesus Christ hanging, bleeding, dying, suffering for our sins on the cross. That's how we know how God is disposed towards us. And even the book of Romans says that God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins. So Joel is looking in all of the wrong places. And I got to admit, as a dude, that what he's exegeting is just making me squeamish and uncomfortable.
What's next?
All right, from here, we're going to get, the cash out. I mean, well, since all of the water broke in Houston, and we know the bazillions of gallons that flooded all the neighborhoods there in Houston, the question is, what is now God promising us as a result of our quote-unquote collective water breaking there in Houston?
He has new things he wants to birth, not just through you, but in you. In the difficult times, if you'll keep the right attitude, you'll develop a greater strength, a greater confidence, a greater trust in God. Don't complain because the water broke. Get ready. Favor is coming. Increase is coming. New levels are coming. What you give birth to will be greater than anything that you've lost. You may have lost your car. You're going to give birth to a better car. You may have lost a relationship. Somebody walked away. You're going to give birth to a better relationship. The company had to downsize, said they don't need you. You were loyal. You didn't see it coming. Don't get bitter. God has a better job in a higher position with more influence, more income, more benefits, where your gifts can come out in a greater way. Now, I'm not just encouraging you, I'm prophesying you're going to give birth to something greater than you've imagined. God is going to open doors you never dreamed would open, give you resources, opportunities, influence that is amazing. But the floods, the disappointments, the betrayals, they are all a part of God's plan. Without the water breaking, you can't give birth. When we give birth, there will be labor pains. You're going to have to push, stretch, be willing to be uncomfortable. But when you understand it's a part of the process, when you realize you can't go to the next level without the water breaking, then you'll go through it with a good attitude.
Okay, Chris, what is Joel saying there?
Well, he's making promises for God that God never made. I mean, you know, could you imagine if I got on, you know, Fighting for the Faith tonight and I said, everybody who shows up at headquarters for Lutheran Public Radio next Thursday between the hours of 10 and 2 in the afternoon, that Todd Wilkin will personally give each person that shows up a brand new $1,000 bill. I mean, so people start showing up there at Collinsville, lining up, you know, the night before, because, you know, Chris Roseboro says that Todd Wilkin's going to give out Chris brand new $1,000 bills. Are you actually obligated then, Todd, to give away these $1,000 bills because I've said so on my program?
No, that in no way obligates me, and I would not appreciate if you did that.
By the way, that's not true. But don't anyone show up there in Collinsville. Todd ain't giving out $1,000 bills.
You can show up, but there are no $1,000 bills being handed out.
Right. So it's kind of the same idea. Nowhere in Scripture has God authorized pastors to make these promises that Joel Osteen has made on behalf of God. So, you know, there you are in Houston. Your house was flooded. You've lost, you know, it's going to be hundreds of thousands of dollars to repair your home, right? And so you've heard from Joel Osteen that God says that means because your water broke in the form of a real flood, that now God is going to upgrade your house. So when the insurance guy comes up and gives you a check and it's only going to cover maybe 70% of the damages, and you know, you're not going to have an upgrade, you're going to have a downgrade. And he's now made a promise for God that God is not obligated to keep. And this, by the way, has a name. This is called blasphemy. This is a breaking of the second commandment. The second commandment that says you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember what our catechism says, that this means that we should fear and love God so that we do not curse or swear or use satanic arts, lie or deceive by his name. And so here, what Joel Osteen is doing is literally blaspheming and making promises for God, and he's lying and deceiving all in the name of the God of the Bible. And this has put him in a very precarious situation, because when you read Scripture, God does not take blasphemers lightly. Oftentimes they are punished severely by God, and if they do not repent, then they should expect from God not mercy on the day of judgment, but actual wrath. And so you do not sin against God in this way. And Joel Osteen is literally blaspheming in the highest level and making promises for God that God is not obligated to cash in on.
Pastor Chris Roseboro is our guest. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll hear another bit from Joel Osteen from his sermon preached post-Hurricane Harvey in Houston, Texas, When the Water Breaks. Pastor Chris Roseboro is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith.
If you have a middle school-aged child or grandchild in the St. Louis Metro East, encourage them to attend an open house from 1 to 3 in the afternoon on Sunday, November the 5th at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. You can meet faculty, staff, administration, students, and parents. Learn more by calling 618-656-0043 or visit melhs.org. Open house, 1 to 3 Sunday afternoon, November the 5th, at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville.
Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a contribution of $120 to Issues, Etc. You can donate online at issuesetc.org/scholarship. issuesetc.org/scholarship. Or you can make your $120 check payable to Issues Etc. Write scholarship in the memo line and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you find yourself fixing the theology on store-bought greeting cards when you give them to friends and family? Put away that Sharpie. Edgruesome.com has greeting cards, art, jewelry, certificates, church banners, housewares, and all sorts of fantastic gifts that proclaim Christ crucified for us. Whether you're a value shopper or a collector, you'll find something at Edgruesome.com. That's Edgruesome.com.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Two weeks from today, the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference begins in Houston, Texas. We still have room for you. You can meet and hear Mark and Molly Hemingway, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, Dr. Scott Murray, Rod Dreher, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, Pastor Ted Giese, and Dr. Lawrence White. Registration is $120. That includes meals on Friday night and Saturday afternoon and evening. And thanks to the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education, childcare is absolutely free. Register this weekend at issuesetc.org or send an email to lynn@issuesetc.org, L-Y-N-N @issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference is Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th. In Houston. It's this week in Pop American Christianity. We're talking about a post-Hurricane Harvey sermon preached by Joel Osteen titled When the Water Breaks. Pastor Chris Rosebrough is our guest. Chris, before we listen to the last example here, I do note that a lot of the promises that he's making are, well, some of them are oddly specific. Like if my car got flooded out, he is telling me I'm going to get a new and better car. And that's pretty specific. But a lot of his promises are very vague. You're going to give birth to something better than what you had before. Is that pretty typical here?
Yeah, that's very typical. And I hate to say this, but this birthing language, it has become a very popular thing in charismatic circles. And it always cracks me up when I hear somebody prophetically saying that I'm going to give birth to something in the spirit, because it's like, yeah, sorry, giving birth is like not in the cards for me. You know, I'm a dude, you know, we don't do that. And so, so I find it odd that he's kind of picked up on this birthing language, but it is vague, but it's still at the same time, it creates the expectation that, you know, wherever I was when Harvey came, that where I will be when it's all said and done and everything is dried out and the mold is gone, that I will be better off. It'll be an improvement, an upgrade. That's the expectation that he's creating, and God doesn't make that promise either.
What's the last bit we're going to hear here?
So now this is where I'd like to kind of focus is, and notice that he's trying to provide comfort to actual people who really lost property, cars, homes, and maybe even their job as a result of Hurricane Harvey. And just ask the question, is this ultimately going to really comfort them with a real comfort that God is promising?
You know, the trauma means transition is coming. You know, it's just a matter of time before you give birth to the new things God has in store. The process may be uncomfortable, but the purpose is worth it. If you could see where God is taking you, if you could see the new things on the horizon, the favor, the influence, the opportunities, the friendships, then you wouldn't be bothered by what you're going through. Paul said, these light afflictions are for a moment, yet they work in us an eternal weight of glory. What you're going through is temporary. The birthing process doesn't last forever. The discomfort is for a moment, but what you give birth to, the blessings, they will last for a lifetime. And what's interesting is Victoria didn't choose where her water broke. If she knew when it was going to break, she would have stayed at home, had it all planned out, been prepared. But you can't choose where your water breaks. You can't choose when the flood comes, the disappointment, the loss. We can't decide when we're going to give birth. That's in God's hands. We may not understand it, but God knows what He's doing. There is a purpose for every challenge. This is when we have to say, God, I trust you. I don't see what you're doing. Doesn't make sense to me, God. My house flooded, or my child got off course, my finances went down. God, I don't understand it, but I know your ways are better than my ways. My life is in your hands. I've learned God will not mismanage your life. He will not allow things to happen that don't somehow move you toward your destiny. He can see things that we can't see.
All right, Chris, I've back in the day reviewed a lot of Joel Osteen sermons. They haven't changed much over the years, by the way. They're pretty much the same. One is like the other. Now, I know that at the end of every sermon, he will have a little come to Jesus invitation to give your heart to Jesus. They pray a version of the sinner's prayer. But I've heard entire sermons where he's gone without any reference to Christ. Can there be any comfort, as you mentioned before,
No.
in the midst of tragedy without Jesus?
None whatsoever. In fact, you're going to note here, I'm going to point out that he actually twisted 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And notice where the emphasis was. The emphasis was on the here and the now and this life, the way he was preaching it. But 2 Corinthians 4, starting at verse 16, actually gives us some very good comfort. But listen to what it says. He says, "So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." And so it's fascinating that he referenced this text, but focused us back on the transient, on the temporary, on that which is passing away. But here the Apostle Paul is focusing our faith on the unseen things that are eternal. And that, namely, begins with Christ Jesus, our ascended Lord, who rules and reigns, and all authority has been given to him. And so, and that day coming when the transient will give way to the immortal, when Jesus returns in glory to judge the living and the dead, then we will see Christ face to face. And so the idea here is that over and again, Scripture, and especially in the writings of the apostles, when we are experiencing afflictions in this life, which we are to expect, that we are to keep our eyes focused on the eternal and what is coming, and our hope in Christ, eternal life, where we hear the promises of Jesus in the book of Revelation, where he says, "Behold, I make all things new." And so when we see tragedies, or our homes are flooded in natural disasters, or we lose a home in an earthquake or things like that, that is to remind us that all of this will someday be gone. And what is happening here and now will literally give way to that which is eternal, a world without end, in a face-to-face relationship with our crucified and risen Savior. And it's that eternal that our faith is to be focused on. And yet Joel Osteen, by focusing us on the here and the now and pulling all of the promises of the eschaton into the present, is not comforting people. He's literally setting them up for being disheartened, disillusioned, and losing their faith, because all of the promises and comfort that he's giving to them have to do with things in the transient world rather than the eternal world that is coming.
Chris, I'm going to ask you a question that I'm pretty sure you've given some thought to. And Joel Osteen is typical in this respect. These kinds of word faith sermons are, he's just one among many. Why don't they preach sin and grace? Why don't they preach God's law and the gospel of Jesus Christ? Why does the cross and the saving work of Jesus so often go unmentioned in Joel Osteen's preaching?
I'm going to give you a biblical answer to it. The answer is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and here's where I'm going to place the blame. I'm going to place the blame not on Joel Osteen. I'm going to place the blame on the people who attend Lakewood Church, because Scripture does. Listen to what the Apostle Paul prophesied would happen. He says in verse 3 of chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, "The time is coming when people will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they," the people, "they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and they will turn away from listening to the truth, and they will wander off into myths." And so Joel Osteen, the reason why he preaches what he preaches is because the people at Lakewood, they want him to preach this. They do not want him to preach God's law and to call them to repentance and to have faith in Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. That will not fly at Lakewood. And so they richly reward Joel Osteen like a prince on earth, for giving them and for scratching their itching ears and telling them what they want to hear. The blame falls on the people, because Joel Osteen is one fellow. He's just giving them what they want, what they hired him to do.
Before we let you go, what kind of errors and blasphemies will you be responding to tonight on Fighting for the Faith?
Well, today we're going to be listening to a lesson that I recently delivered on the death of King Saul and Jonathan and the aftermath with the ascension of David to the throne of Judah and then eventually Israel. And so that's what we're going to be covering on today's episode of Fighting for the Faith.
Listen to Chris Roseborough and Fighting for the Faith right after the live broadcast of Issues Etc. in about a half hour at piratechristian.com, piratechristian.com. Chris Roseborough is pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week is on the other side of the break. We're going to spend the last half hour with you. We'll first listen to our four soundbites, one from Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse on the sexual revolution's grand narrative, another on, well, it's contrasting, Bishop Elizabeth Eaton of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America and Pastor Matt Harrison of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on their views of the Lutheran confessions. Soundbite number three is from Uwe Simonetto telling an amazing story about a faithful Christian during Nazi Germany, and finally Pastor Paul McCain with a story of his own on liberal Lutheranism. Those four sound bites are ahead on the other side of the break. We'll play them for you. You listen, then give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or go to our Facebook fan page and vote, facebook.com/issuesetc.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the language of medicine and law today. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Emmanuel means God with us. God is with us at Emmanuel Lutheran Church and School at 1285 Main Street in Hamilton, Ohio, near Cincinnati. God is with us as we gather on Sunday at 8 and 10:45 a.m. for divine service. God with us in his word of forgiveness, with us in the waters of baptism, with us in the body and blood of Christ in Holy Communion, with us in the classrooms of our school and child care, serving children from age 3 to 8th grade. Join us for worship or enroll your child in our Christ-centered day school. Find us at emmanuelhamilton.com.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union was formed to serve you and to serve the church. Starting October 1st, this twofold mission becomes even more pronounced. During October, when you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to their ministry of the month, the Concordia Historical Institute. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran FCU, good for you, good for the church.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
An oasis in the desert of pop American Christianity, you're listening to Issues Etc.
What do Martin Luther's 95 Theses say and mean? What's the story behind Luther's famous hymn, A Mighty Fortress? How and why are Lutherans celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation this month? Find answers to these questions and more in the October issue of The Lutheran Witness. Visit cph.org/trylutheranwitness to get 6 issues of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's flagship magazine for only $6.99. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, it affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the second edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. EmmanuelPress.us.